Okay, so as I mentioned to you yesterday, the issue of computer viruses is one that the Rishonim don't seem to explicitly address, but in more recent Sfarim you can certainly find discussions. And we mentioned yesterday that Rav Shlomo Daichovsky's article that was printed in the journal Shari Tzedek has served as the launching pad for many discussions. And we went through yesterday some of his main arguments about the subject. And we saw that much of it was centered around a notion that Aish would be the model for the idea of a chiyuv for a computer virus. So there is a sefer called Derech HaAsarim, of course. Asarim as in sites. It's a pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar, but it's Asar is the website now in modern Hebrew. With an Aleph, Aleph Tav Resh. So the Sefer Derech HaAsarim is all about computer issues and websites, internet issues really, internet specifically. And he has a number of fascinating essays in the Choshen Mishpat vein. One of them is about the topic of computer viruses. He has many other interesting hezek issues, which maybe we'll find time to insert into the conversation. It really has some fascinating discussions. But in his essay about computer viruses, so he takes a lot of issue with Rav Daichovsky's essay. And he is really not in favor of the idea that Aish is a model. He thinks that that's not the proper place to look. And he points out that Aish is something which goes and does its damage on its own. And the damaged item does not have to play any role other than to get damaged. And the computer virus he sees as something fundamentally different, because whether we want to emphasize this part of the equation or not, but the victim does have to play a role, or at least his computer has to play a role. Again, whether we call that significant as far as chiyuvim is a separate question, but he's just trying to understand exactly how the hezek happens. So the hezek happens because the way the mazik force is intertwined with the nizak force, and therefore he doesn't think that really follows a model of Aish. And also the idea of koach acher mu'uruv bo, he says to look to the internet itself as the koach acher, to look to the phone lines, to look to things like that as the koach acher, didn't think that that was really a appropriate model either, because he thinks that's simply just what's in between here and there. That's just the pathway. So it's as if one were to say that fire goes down the hallway, let's say, and causes damage, to say that the hall is the koach acher mu'uruv bo, that wouldn't make any sense. The hall is just the real estate between here and there. And he thought that that was the relevant categorization for the computer and for the internet and things like that as well. And overall, he thought the whole model of Aish is really not the way to go. So this is a fiery machlokes, a very interesting machlokes about how to assess this contemporary phenomenon. And he also, in the course of discussing that, so he gets into the details he disagrees with also, we discussed yesterday the concept of Talmud. Normally there is an exclusion from the Chiyuv of Aish if something is concealed, and there are exceptions to that. So he didn't buy that whole discussion either, because he said either you want to say that everything is concealed within the computer, or you want to say that none of it is, because it's all part of the computer itself. He didn't think that the whole discussion really made too much sense, but he was only even engaging in the conversation within the premise that it was Aish, which he also didn't accept.
Do you mind repeating that one more time?
Which part about Talmud?
No, the exclusion.
is that in general, when it comes to Aish, there is sometimes an exclusion that something that is hidden within that which is being burnt, you're not chayav for. That's called tamun.
Like the case of the Gemara with the
Aish. Yeah, we have something inside of it, right, exactly. So there, we mentioned yesterday a discussion of whether that which is inside the computer or elements of that which is inside the computer were subject to that discussion. So he didn't really like that whole point for the reasons we mentioned, but it's all within the Aish model, which he, Bechlal, wasn't accepting. So ultimately, he's not also so sure whether it really can be viewed as Adam Hamazik, whether it can be viewed as an extension of what the actor is himself doing, what the initial virus creator is doing. So he ultimately understands it as a form of Goreim Hezek. And once you say that, so then we have to get into the whole discussion of Grama and Garmi. And he does indeed get involved in the Tosfos we were talking about last week. We'll mention that more in a second. So we may return, just to keep things integrated. We mentioned that next week, God willing, we want to get into a little bit more head-on the issue of Grama and Garmi. So perhaps in that context, to keep everything all flowing into each other, maybe we will return to some of his discussions about that. But ultimately, that's how he understands the role of the virus creator, and perhaps also the virus sender, even if one does so b'shogeg. There are other elements that maybe we'll come back and look at more once we have a little more grounding in that issue. But ultimately, that's how he understands what's going on. And he also does invoke, and it's a little ironic in a sense, because I guess this is a Milchamta Shel Torah, so for all the back and forth of these two essays, or I guess it's just going in one direction, given that Chavsky's Maimer was written first, I'm not aware if he is aware of this attack or if he ever wrote a response. Maybe he did, I don't know. But in any event, for all this machlokes, ultimately, as a conclusion, they basically say the same thing. They basically say that there are many different studim to consider that may possibly be mechayev, the Balha virus. But at the end of the day, we also can look to the Dina de Malchus Adina as relevant here, and since the need for a takana in this area, the need for an attention to the fact that this is such a clear problem is very present and very pressing, so for sure the impact here of Dina de Malchus Adina should not be ignored, and that's going to be relevant here as well. So that sentence you pretty much can see in each essay, that's how it basically ends. But along the way, there's a lot of disagreement, pretty extensive disagreement, on how some of those potential components come together. Then after he says that, in the last line, he then goes to discuss what kind of brought us into this whole discussion, that should we say that if somebody sends a virus to somebody else, and that recipient then activates it by turning on his computer or by opening the email or whatever it is that does it, should that be comparable to the case of somebody who puts poison in front of an animal and that animal eats it? So we saw there was a machlokas rishonim as to why that situation is pater b'dinei adam and only chayif b'dinei shamayim. So he thought that it was totally on that machlokas, which ultimately is a machlokas rishonim, ultimately is a machlokas in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah as well. So therefore he left that question as totally a machlokas, whether or not there's any role to play there on the victim for having activated the virus. Okay. So that's a little bit more about that issue about the virus, and again we reserve the right to revisit some of the details of what he's talking about when we're more within the sugya of Grama and Garmi. So now, let's try to lay out a little bit some of the issues related to Rishus. So you got a chance to get your feet wet a little bit and to see that there is theoretically a p'tur of Mazik Rishus, which can include all kinds of scenarios. It's actually a pretty extensive category. But among them, and the one that makes it a little bit seasonal as well, is the idea that it also extends to somebody who is involved in a mitzvah. We don't know if that's always true yet. We don't know in what context it's true. But we know that there is at least some application of this idea that we can find, for example, if you saw the Gemara in Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, to bring it directly to Hanukkah, which is referencing a Mishnah in Hakones. And the Gemara as well, the Mishnah in the Gemara in Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, where we find reference to Erev Shabbos. So in both cases, we find the notion of Rishus playing a role, and we have to figure out what that means. So today, let's at least try to get some of the questions on the table. So how do you understand the concept of Mazik Rishus? Why should it make a difference? Is it self-evident how it makes a difference? Is there something we need to figure out? Any questions that present themselves about this topic? What do you think, Daniel?
Just the pashas is figuring out who is chayav and what context did he chayav.
So we need to figure out the details of what's called a rishus. Is that what you mean? So that's certainly important. That's definitely something we're going to have to try to figure out. But on a fundamental level, is there anything that bothers you about this, Maury?
I was just going to say that before you go there, it might be important to have a working definition
of what rishus is. Right, so there's many cases, as we'll see. But before we can figure out what the details are, so maybe we need a working definition of what Rishus is. Why does Rishus matter? What does Rishus even mean? Right, okay, so permission of who? Let's start with that.
Permission of, I guess the Mazik.
The Mazik gives himself permission?
No, he just has permission.
He's granted permission.
Granted permission based on the case.
Okay, but you see there's a lot of open ends there.
Right.
Well, granted permission from who? To do what?
Well, you got permission from the Chanukah and Neres Chanukah, and permission from Chazal to put your Neres Chanukah outside.
Okay, so the Gemara mentions Bezdin.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But then the Gemara says that that's not really the whole story.
Right.
So that Gemara in Daf Lamed Amud Aleph talks about Rishus Bezdin and looks to Hanukkah for that, but ultimately concludes that there's more to it. Right, but Tanan Rabbi Yehuda Omer here Lamed Amud Aleph B'ner Hanukkah Pater B'pnei Shehu B'Rishus My Lav Mishum Rishus Bezdin Lo Mishum Rishus Mitzvah Tanan Rabbi Yehuda Omer B'ner Hanukkah Pater B'pnei Shehu Rishus Mitzvah. So what's the difference there? Or is it a combination? Right? What does Rashi say on B'nei Rishos Mitzvah? Is that two opposing things, Rishos Mitzvah, Rishos Bezdin? So Rashi over there says, Klomar Mishum Rishos Bezdin de Mitzvah, Mifter. Aval Rishos Bezdin de Lav Mitzvah, Chayev. So it sounds like that's a detail within Rishos Bezdin. Jed?
What's that point there by Rashi?
But Rashi, when the Gemara says, oh, is it Rishos Bezdin or is it Rishos Mitzvah? So Rashi says, the difference is that this is Rishus Bezdin de Mitzvah. That it comes, it's rooted in its Rishus Bezdin, but it's because it's about a mitzvah.
He allows it because it's a mitzvah.
Well, that's it, the reason that there's a p'tur here, which Rashi just says, it's that the Rishus Bezdin de Mitzvah, as opposed to Rishus Bezdin de Lav Mitzvah. So it's not that this is not Rishus Bezdin and mitzvah instead. Rather, it's something that Bezdin permits permits as a mitzvah. And that's what makes a difference.
That it's because it's a mitzvah that Beis Din allows it.
I don't know. I'm not sure. We don't know yet what that means. But the point is that Rashi combines the two for this possibility. It's a Beis Din and a mitzvah. Has anyone else had a hand up before?
Just you're saying that you're damaging permission.
Well, I don't know. Damaging, to grant permission to damage, is that what it means?
Permission to make a scenario that there would be damage.
Permission to make a scenario.
Well, I mean, if you bring your nearest tonic outside of your running versus a rather, it's not necessarily that there will be damage caused, but there could be. Someone could step out in front of you and you'd be
them,
or someone could.
Okay, so you are already identifying a number of important points within that question. So we're going to have to figure out a lot about what you just said. Jed?
You need a reshus of the people, not just based on the people in general, like whether something, I think, maybe when it was talking about Mishunas, something not Mishunas, it's just amongst the people, what would be expected from the general cloud.
Okay, so the behavior is Bereshus, the damaging is Bereshus.
That the behavior is Bereshus.
Okay.
Like running, for instance, as we see that case also, running would be Bereshus. People should expect to see running during different periods, and maybe sometimes they shouldn't expect it.
Okay, so let me ask you a question, which we'll phrase as a chakira, but. You know, chakiras are beautiful things, but we always have to be careful, make sure they're being utilized accurately and genuinely. So sometimes they're very helpful to clarify things, and sometimes they can also kind of box in our thinking. But it's helpful sometimes to be able to direct us one way or another, maybe to direct us in both ways, possibly. So let me ask you the following question. The notion of a p'tur bereshus, does that mean that you would have been chayiv, but this reshus comes and gets you off the hook? Or does it mean that there's some deficiency here in what would have been mechayiv you in the first place? That the type of thing that's mechayiv you for hezek is not there when you are doing whatever you're doing in bereshus. Maury?
I think if you're being very wrong, but there are a bunch of different kulot and malachim by the concept of onis.
Okay.
So whether or not we view it as a disembodied action, I think that'd be referred to some extent.
Okay.
Like, is it that you're doing something and you're off the hook because you're doing, like, are you doing something you're not you're separate from the avira or like or the chiyuv, or does it not count as an action? I think it's very similar.
Okay, well, that is helpful because you're bringing up an important point, right? So we have seen that the question of Adam Hamazik Ba'ones, at least to some degree, is a machlokas rishonim. That we've seen that Tosfos, at least in one place in the Masechta, maybe more, Tosfos does acknowledge a p'tur of Ones on some level, of Ones Gomer, while the Ramban does not seem to. The Ramban says that even if one is Mazik the Ones, one is still Chayiv. So does that affect your understanding of this issue? Or I'll ask more specifically. Consider each possibility for a second. Let's say you take the possibility that there is the p'tur of onus, like Tosfos. Does Ratz Bereshus, Mazik Bereshus, does that work better then? Does it work better for one possibility or the other? Or is this irrelevant? The machlokis that we have about whether there's a p'tur of onus, with Tosfos saying that there is at least some kind of onus that you're p'tur for, and the Ramban saying no, you're chayiv even ba'onus. So does that connect to this?
Yeah,
Does that affect how you understand mazik brishos? Well, let's say, let's take it one at a time. So let's say you say that Adam HaMazik Ba'ones is Pater. So is that helpful? Is that relevant? I mean, you could say that maybe what Rishus means is that this helps to characterize what's considered to be your fault and what's not your fault. So if there's a certain level where it's not your fault, where you're honest, so then maybe Rishus is relevant to that. Like, for example, we know that the Gemara has an idea which also has to be understood in this context somehow, one way or another, that Ein Darko Shel Adam L'Sbonen B'Drachim. A person, when he's walking, is not expected to be looking down all the time and seeing what's on the floor. So, is that a way of saying that if you do step on something that wouldn't have been predictably there, that that's a type of onus? And therefore, maybe a mitzvah, for example, is in a similar category? You hear the question? And now let's flip it the other way. If you say there is no p'tur onus, so then what do you do? So why is rishus something that's relevant when onus is not?
Shmuley? Is that the same thing as Tosfos?
That's how we were assuming Tosfos says that there is a p'tur of onus,
yeah.
And that is the Ramban who says there is not. So if you take the Ramban's view that there's no p'tur of onus, why is there a p'tur of rishus? How is Rishus something better than onus? Right?
When looking at the two sides of how we view Rishus, it seems as though the Ramban, which then with the first view, is that you would be chayav, but there is a power of Rishus, there is its own power.
Could be, right? Maybe so. Maybe that there's always the chayav, essentially, because onus is included as well. But somehow Rishus overrides it, maybe. But maybe not. I mean, I think that's definitely something to investigate. But maybe not. Who's up first? Maury?
Maybe we just said this, but sorry, I missed it. The Ramban is interesting with the second side of the field. There might just be indicative of a lack of whatever's going to bring me to the point of being okay.
Right, you say it's another possibility, the opposite of what Daniel said, but it could also be true. Right, that maybe there is still something that's sub onus. Maybe there's something which doesn't make the cut in the first place, and a maisa b'rishus is an example of that.
Right, understanding maisa b'rishus to just be like symbolizing or indicating that there was, I didn't reach the point of being chayav. So it's not seeing it as a p'tur, it's seeing it more of a.
Possibly, right? So, just to kind of direct you along that line also, if you look, for example, in the Minchas Asher, so Rav Asher Weiss has a short piece on the concept of Rishus, but he goes through some points, and he quotes the Chazon Ish there. He works off the assumption, which I'm giving to you so you can think through whether this will flow with everything, that if you want to say, like Tosfos, Adam HaMazik Ba'onas could be Pater, okay, so then this might be what we're talking about. That the same way you're allowed to live your life and you're not expected to look down and to see what you're stepping on, so too, whatever we call Rishus, Mitzvah, and other examples are in that kind of a category. But if you say that onus is chayiv, so how does it work? So what Daniel said is interesting, and I think it's possible. It happens not to be the mahalach that he's considering there as well, at all. But it's interesting. I think we have to keep our minds open to that possibility. That maybe nechanami, so you're chayiv always. But Rishus somehow comes and lets you off the hook. But he's pursuing there an opposite mahalach, that even if you want to say that Adam HaMazik Ba'onas is Chayiv, you still have to have done something. Still have to have something called a Maisa Hezek. And maybe when you're acting Bereshus, then your action is defined not as a Maisa Hezek. Yeah, that maybe even to say you're off the hook for an onus, but still you have to have something that is characterized as a Maisa Hezek. And when your action is Bereshus, then that's off the table as a Maisa Hezek. That's not called a Maisa Hezek. So that would flow with calling it less than onus. You know, that onus still requires a certain kind of action, and this is maybe below that. Right, right, because we know that there is such a concept as Mazik Brishos Patur. So we have to account for that, for the Ramban, and for those who say that Adam HaMazik Ba'onus is Chayiv. So somehow we have to separate out Mazik Brishos. So in Rav Asher Weiss's piece, that's essentially the Mahalach that he's emphasizing. Although again, I think we should keep our minds open to what Daniel said as well, because maybe that's got its own logic to it that we have to see if that's something that may also be compelling. All right?
Is that similar to the idea that we were just saying, that essentially the Ramban, which is the second side of the field, that the Ramban is saying that Rishus could be a Patori even if the Onus is not, because Rishus is just an indication of something not being
achieved. Maybe, right. So basically what we've laid out in the past few minutes are really three possibilities. But they're not all for the same foundations. So if you say that Adam HaMazik could be Pater even Ba'onis, so then maybe this is a form of onus. Right? That essentially this is saying that if you're allowed to be doing what you're doing, or all the more so in the case of a mitzvah, if you are mechuyev to be doing what you're doing, then we can't call that your fault. That's like an onus. So if onus is ptur, then good. That's one possibility. But what if onus normally would be chayiv? So then we just laid out two possibilities to work within that. That either Rishus is something that comes and takes away your Ptur on top of your Chiyuv. So yes, you're Chayiv, but because it's Rishus, that's why you end up being Pater. Or maybe it's not even a Chiyuv in the first place. It's somehow less than Onus. Because even an Onus has to have something to hang your Chiyuv on. And anything that's considered to have a justification to it doesn't rise to that level. Okay, everybody with me? So we need to keep our eyes out for support for any of those three possibilities. Now, maybe just to highlight some other questions that we'll try to be alert for, and we'll have to fill most of this in next time. What I'll do is there a Shulchan Aruch in here? Shockingly, no. So I will read to you from the Shulchan Aruch, which, did any of you guys get there this morning to the Shulchan Aruch? So I will read to you the way this is codified in Shulchan Aruch and see if you can identify a number of points which may be ripe for argument or possible distinction. So this is Shinai and Ches in Shulchan Aruch. And tell me if you can identify how many points here may be subject to possible modification or disagreement. It says the Shulchan Aruch, Hayechad Ratz Ve'echad Mahalich. Let's say one person is running and one person is walking. V'huzak HaMahalich B'Ratz, and the person who is walking ends up hurting himself on the runner. So Chayiv, that guy is Chayiv Mipnei Sherat Shelo B'Rishuz. Because that guy, well, who gave him permission to be running around in public? B'med devar mamurim, what are we talking about? B'chol, that if this is a normal weekday. Aval be'erev Shabbos, bein hashmashos, pater, mipnei sheratz birshus. But if it's erev Shabbos, bein hashmashos, so then the runner is pater because of ratz birshus. And adds the Rama, davka bistam, this is assuming that we don't know anymore, the talina deratz letzarech Shabbos, because then we will assume that he was running for Shabbos purposes. Avalim yadua de'enaratz el ishar chafatzav, if we know that he was only running for his own purposes, v'lo shaychi beit sarach Shabbos, and sarach Shabbos was not the issue, chayiv kamo v'chol. So I can think of at least 4 points in that Mechaber Ramah that are subject either to machlokas or to distinctions or to other types of comments. Anything that you picked up on?
Yeah. It seems like it's definitely referring to mitzvah. The volunch never shows to mitzvah.
Okay, but we know from the Gemara that it applies to mitzvah.
But that also it seems less like it's functioning as a Torah bonus, I think.
Okay, why?
Sounds like it's more of just a something active about, maybe this is too far stretched every day. Sounds like it's more of like an active, like a positive presence of something, not that when I'm busy doing something else, so like I messed up over here. It's more like I would say sort of gain osev mitzvah patur, like because he's doing something else.
I mean, you could be right. You know, and that's part of the question, that it's a good phrase to bring up, because I think that's something we should also think about. Is this idea comparable on some level to osik, a mitzvah, patim, and a mitzvah? Are we saying that it's like that, that there's a mitzvah, but because you're involved in a mitzvah, you're patim? Those of us who were here last year from Masechta Sukkah maybe have an advantage on this point, because you can borrow some of the approaches to that sukkah and consider it here. But I'll call your attention to at least 4 things that you can notice about this Mechaber Ramah, and we will, God willing, try to consider them in more detail next time. First of all, let's take this as representative of the whole Ratz Brishus issue. Does this work for somebody who's purposely mazik, or just for somebody who is accidentally mazik? So that's very likely the case, right? All we see here is accidental, right? Which helps us to emphasize, what's the reshus? Is the reshus on the hezek? Or is the reshus on the conditions, like Sam was saying before? But one can't glean from here that there's reshus for somebody actually to be mazik you, to whatever extent that's relevant. There's also emphasis that some Sfarim put on. Now, what's the scenario here? It may be precise that the Shulchan Aruch's language here is Vuhuzak Hamahalich Beratz, that the guy walking ends up hurting himself on the runner. But maybe if it was the other way around, that the runner smacks into the walker, maybe even then Rishus wouldn't help. That's something to think about. Now there's 2 other points that we saw here that are also possibly significant for us. Because let me ask you the following question. If we're going to exempt somebody who's doing a mitzvah from their liabilities for damages, which is a scary idea, as some Achronim have written, it's going to mean we're really going to have to walk around in armor all the time, because anybody could be on the way to a bris or a shir or whatever. So if that's really how far we're going with this, which we'll see as a discussion, so then that's going to be quite a tricky society to navigate. So what do you think about the fact that the Shulchan Aruch contained a phrase which you didn't necessarily see in the Gemara? Erev Shabbos, doesn't just say Erev Shabbos, but Erev Shabbos, Bein Hashmashos. Is that important?
That's the fourth.
That's the third still so far. So is that important, Ben Hashmashos? What's the significance of that? Is that significant? And if so, why? What if it's Friday morning?
It depends who you ask. But there are
okay.
About whether it's about preparing for Shabbos.
Uh-huh.
And if you're off the hook for doing this as a preparing.
Uh-huh.
There are other days that say everyone, I think the Rush said that everyone's already prepared for Shabbos and no one's going to be running Ben Hashmashos.
Okay. So, but what, before getting to the specifics, which I guess we'll do next time, but what issues are you identifying here? Well, let's say a guy does his shopping on Thursday for Shabbos. Does
right.
it apply here?
So, there's two components, a timing component and
uh-huh.
a Kavanah-ish component.
Okay, so why is the timing component important then?
The timing component has to do with whether the Nizak is expecting that type of action.
Ah, okay.
To
so now something important is being introduced into the conversation. Maury?
Definitely Jacob's piece as well, that it reflects on the Nizak.
Uh-huh.
But I would even say that maybe this one to look at on the Mazik's part. That if he's running a Ben Hashmashos, he might have a reason to be Ben Hashmashos, that there's something more drastic. He's running a Ben Hashmashos because he's not ready, he has to prepare for Shabbos. It's just different than maybe like the example that Rebbe said.
Yeah.
It might be different than running on Friday morning because mm-hmm. there might not be as much cause for urgency on Friday morning. The reason that he might be off the hook by running being as much is because he really has to be running right now.
So then maybe there's three elements that this focuses our attention on. Erev Shabbos, Ben Hashmashos, has three parts that we don't know which one or which two are most relevant, or all three relevant. So running Erev Shabbos, Ben Hashmashos, you now have three things. You have mitzvah, you have people know that that is the Zman, and because Ben Hashmashos, you have particular urgency. Those are three distinct things. So we have to consider how that plays a role. And then the fourth thing to notice was the Ramah, quoting the Ran. It says that all of this only applies if we know that he was Davka working on Shabbos preparations. But if it's proven and established that he was running around Friday afternoon Ben Hashmashos for some other purpose, then he wouldn't be putter. Is that so obvious? Even though this is a time where anyone else doing the exact same thing would be putter, his Kavanas Mitzvah makes a difference? That's also very interesting. Hi.
Yeah, I mean, if everybody in the community is aware that people are running around, so then it wouldn't really matter what the reason is.
You might think, right? So that's interesting. That distinction that the Ran makes, that the Ramah quotes, is very interesting. So these are... Yes, I'm going to repeat everything now. So let's just to recap all the things we said in the past few minutes, and that will set us up for next time. We spoke first about the additional positions on virus, and they say for Derech HaSarim's different approach than Rav Dychowski, although he ultimately concludes pretty much the same way. So that's a separate point. But then after that, we got to this topic of Ratz Prishus, and we essentially set up the topic, asked you to consider the following things. So we know that the Gemara tells us in a few places that there is an exemption of Rishus, and included within that we find mitzvah as a focus. Seasonally, we find Daf Lamed telling us that Hanukkah is an example of such Rishus, with Rashi cryptically combining Rishus Bezdin de mitzvah. And on Daf Lamed Beis, we learned that Erev Shabbos is another example of Rishus, of a mitzvah nature. So first we tried to just talk about generally the concept of Rishus. Why should Rishus be an exemption? And we considered three possibilities. One, that it's a type of onus, because it's something that you can't be expected to worry about, and therefore it's like onus, which would work for those Rishonim who think there is such a thing as a Ptur onus. But considering that some Rishonim do not acknowledge Ptur Ones, so then we consider two other possibilities. One, that it's basically a after the fact Ptur, that you're Chayiv, but the Rishus comes and gets you off the hook. Maybe like a Oseik B'mitzvah kind of idea. And therefore, that would be understandable if one still says that onus is chayiv. So yes, you're chayiv, but the mitzvah makes it better. You're not just blameless, you are creditworthy. And that's what's significant. Or maybe no, maybe this is not an after-the-fact tour, but this is a lack of chayiv in the first place. Because even if you want to say you're chayiv ba'onus, there has to be something to attach it to. And if you are acting barashas, it means it doesn't rise to that level. And we'll have to figure that out. And then to call attention to some other possible distinctions and issues, we read from the Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch talks about this tour of Ratz barashas, and we noted at least 4 points that are going to be relevant to further discussion. One is, does this extend, is exemption extend to somebody who's mazik b'kavana? We don't see any indication of that, the way it's formulated in the Shulchan Aruch. And that was important also just to emphasize, are we talking about Rishus Lahazik or Rishus for something else? Two, some understand that even when it's not b'kavana, but if the ratz is the mazik, rather than the cause of somebody else being nizik on him, then that also may still be a chiyuv situation. And we noted the Shulchan Aruch taking the view that this p'tur of Erev Shabbos applies Bein Hashmasho specifically, which gives us at least 3 different things to look at as the reason for the p'tur. Is it the mitzvah? Is it the looking at a window when everyone knows this is what's going on and that's why it's significant? Or is it specifically urgent at that time, and that contributes to the p'tur? So 3 different aspects, we'll have to consider all of those. And then also that the Ramah quotes the Ran, that the individual has to actually have the mitzvah in mind, and not some other purpose which happens to, luckily for him, fit into this time zone, and we'll have to see also why that is. Well, Daven Mincha now, I just want to mention at least once on Hanukkah, that we have a special opportunity when we daven mincha here, because in the Lakewood Yeshiva, in the days of Rav Aaron Cutler, he used to say Heichi Kedusha every day for mincha. But the one exception was Chanukah, because the opportunity to say Al Nisim out loud is Kiyum and Persume Nisa. So we want to take that opportunity. So now that's something we get to do here, but also remember to say Tein Talamot Levracha. Okay, who's davening for us? Judd, you're up. Okay, after Shabbat Sacha, I'll look at Salah.